الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We were discussing about these wasawis, evil thoughts that we get, or way out of way thoughts that we get, whether it is in namaz particularly people are concerned, or even in tilawat zikr, or even just like that, a person gets all terrible thoughts. And the solution that we gave to that, the greatest and best solution, the easiest, if only we can practice on it, is just to ignore it. Totally ignore it. That is the best solution. Then the dua which has come in the hadith, which we discussed a bit at length yesterday, that Allahumma ja'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikrak. Yeah, our illustrious Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali pointed out that a person sometimes, when he takes the dua for granted, then he forgets that is first zikrak or khashyat. Is it first is the dua, Allahumma ja'al wasawisa qalbi dhikraka wa khashyatak. So easy way to remember, in the alphabets, alif, ba, ta, tha, kha comes before dal. So easily you can remember that khashyataka comes first and dhikra comes afterwards. And this is such a valuable dua that you use the enemy's ammunition in order to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. And it's quite clear and apparent that he will withdraw immediately and this wasawis won't trouble you. Another great, great wazifa dua in order to avoid all this wasawis, this bad thoughts, wherever, whether it is about woman, whether it is thinking low about people, or just out of the way thoughts, just that you are a daydreamer all the time. Another very valuable dua is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Yeah, again, this dua is so common. Everyone knows it, but we have taken it too much for granted. So that we have even lost the value of this dua. Even the occasion of it to be recited is such a valuable dua. But when we recite it, like if we see a pig, then we say, La hawla wa la quwwata. Just now, inshallah, with the explanation, we'll see how mighty and how great this dua. It isn't just when you see a pig, or somebody, you hear somebody has committed some bad guna, or you see somebody making a bad guna, and you read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This was given to this ummah on the occasion of Mi'raj, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam in the heavens. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam told our Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, convey my salams to your ummah. The ulama say when we hear this hadith, we should also say alayhim wa alaykum as-salam. That and at this point we should consider what a great honor it is. This also we don't take cognizance. We don't think about it. We take it for granted. Imagine a Nabi like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Khalilullah. He has sent salams for us. And everyone who is a ummati, he has sent salams for you personally. And just imagine, recognize your position and get out of all your evil and your filth, that who is it that has sent salams for me? A Nabi like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And what was the occasion of the salam? Occasion of Mi'raj. And with who did he send the salams? With Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Who brought your salams? Like, for example, if somebody tells you a great alim, great sheikh, great buzur, send salams for you, we will really appreciate it. And the person who brings the salam is even a greater person. Then how much more shouldn't we appreciate? But we don't appreciate the treasures and the values of our deen. Dunya is a few things of a few hundred thousand rands. It means so much to us. But the real values of deen, unfortunately, they don't have value. Then again, from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's to our day today, roughly about 1400 years, who has brought the salams all in this line here to us? In this whole line, the great, great ulama, great, great muhaddithin, great, great our asatiza, etc. Who and who has not brought this salam to us? We should think of that also. And then we should reply to the salam, but appreciate that who has sent. And what has said, what tuhfa did Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam send? He sent salams to us. And salam, according to one Bangladeshi alim who visited us, gave us three beautiful meanings of salam. One is the common meaning, peace be upon you. Peace, dua of peace from Ibrahim alayhi salam through Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam through all these great, great buzurgs has come to each one of us individually and personally. Then the second meaning of salam, it's a name of Allah Ta'ala. Like As-Salamul Mu'minul Muhaymin is a name of Allah, which will mean then in this phrase, As-Salamu Ma'akum. May As-Salam be with you. May Allah be with you. If Allah is with you, what else do you want? Like a father who was staying at home, he was the caretaker, he was looking after his family. He's leaving in the morning and he tells the family, As-Salamu Alaikum. In other words, in this meaning, I was with you the whole night. I was here to look after you. But I'm leaving. I'm leaving Allah to look after you. How much of consolence don't you get? They also tell him, wa alaykum as-salam. You were safe in the house the whole night. We were all together, but you are going in the dunya now, where there are accidents, where there are hijackings, where there is crime, where there are robberies, where there is fraud, where there is deceit. May Allah be with you. May Allah protect you. What a wonderful dua. And the third beautiful meaning, that as-salam is a guarantee of peace. That you make salam to somebody, I guarantee you that I won't have a bad eye in your money, in your shop, in your whatever you have of your dunya, your wife, your daughter, your sister, the neighbor, I won't have a bad eye for any one of this. That person replies to you also and says in return, I also won't have any bad intention for anything of yours. What a beautiful. And this salam has been sent from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to us. So we should appreciate this great, beautiful greeting that we have got. The salam itself, our salam, tahiyatan min indillahi mubarakatan tayyiba. It is tahiyah, a greeting from Allah Ta'ala. It is full of barakah. Mubarakatan tahiyatan min indillahi mubarakatan tayyiba. It is pure and it is clean. Such a greeting. Salam is imported. It isn't made in dunya. It came from Jannah. When Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came, he came with salam which the malaika taught him. And that was the salam, and that is the salam we have got. So anyway, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sent us salams. And further he gave one advice with this salam. And inform your ummat, ke jannat ek chatyal maidan hai. Jannat is a barren, empty land. And the plants and the flowers and the mansions and the beauties of Jannat are your amal. Yeah, in this case he mentioned that read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is, these are all the beautiful plants of Jannat. And this is the beautification. With iman we will get Jannat. And according to our amal will be our palaces of Jannat. Our trees of Jannat, our gardens of Jannat. It's up to everyone how much he wants to make his beauty of Jannat. How that we read the third kalima? We read Subhanallah. All these are trees of Jannat. So all the enjoyments of Jannat are our amal here. Like two people are, for example, quarreling. One person knows, in just an argument, just a friendly argument also. And one person knows he's in the right, but to avoid the argument, to avoid quarreling, he says, you must be right. The minute he says that, Allah builds a palace for him in the middle of Jannah. If two people were fighting, the one who just went, and this happens so common in the house, husband and wife, just you subside, you give in, and your palace in Jannah is being built. At one time, in a majlis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, One person was telling very, very vile, very terrible things to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just listening and just smiling. When he went over the limit, too much he went, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said one word in his defense. Just one word. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became upset, got up and walked out of the majlis. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, "Oh Allah's Rasul, when he was speaking so bad about me and he's attacking me and what he's telling me, you were sitting quiet and smiling. When I just said one word in my defense, you got up angry and you went away." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Abu Bakr, as long as you were quiet, then Allah had appointed a farishta on your behalf, an angel who was giving answers to him. He was giving. But when you spoke, Allah was unhappy. That farishta left, and with that gathering which Allah is happy, Allah's Nabi can't sit in such a gathering." So in our house, when we have these arguments and these fights, if you just keep quiet, and no matter your wife is telling you, she's going on for herself. And we know this is so common. Allah appoints a farishta on your side, and he gives jawab all the time. But when you also want to make barabarika, two, you say one, I will tell you two in return. A husband and wife, they had an argument, so they were just not talking with one another, they were quiet, they were driving on the road, they passed by an animal farm, in which there were all types of animals, horses, dogs, donkeys, pigs, all. So the husband, to break the silence, he told the wife, "That's all your family, isn't it?" So she said, "Yes, it's my in-laws." So she put the whole buck on him, that your in-laws, they are your family. So this meh-meh tu-tu, which is so common, and it is the cause of it is pride. We can't humble ourselves. We haven't learned to annihilate ourselves. We think ourselves too big. And a person who thinks himself too big, a good saying is too big for his boots. He thinks he's too big for his boots. That's his problem. So a person should be humble. So this arguments, they are the cause of all these problems. Anyway, so this salam, what was it? So when we will give in, Allah builds a palace for you in Jannah. All our amal, yeah, with amal, you will get all the things of Jannah. With iman, you will get Jannah. And with amal, you will get all your things of Jannah. So we should try our utmost best. What la hawla wa la quwwata. It is narrated in one hadith that la hawla wa la quwwata is the cure for 99 diseases. But we take it just when you see a pig, you read la hawla wa la quwwata. Cure of 99 diseases. In one riwayat it comes, the lowest of them all is depression. By reading la hawla. But we don't think it can work. We feel you got depression, you have to go to a doctor, you have to go to a psychiatrist, you need to go to a psychologist, you need to go to some health practitioner. Whereas the 99, and this is the lowest, what is higher, the worst diseases, it's cure for that also. In another narration it comes, it's a cure for 70 diseases, for 70 problems, the lowest of which is poverty, want of money. By reading it, but how much do we read it? Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that it comes in the hadith, أَكْسِرُ مِنْ قَوْلِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Read it in abundance. And according to Arabs and Arabic language, abundance is 70. Like in our language, you say, I told you 100 times. I told you 1,000,000 times. But they used to say 70. That means I told you a lot of times. It doesn't mean literally 70. It means I really told you so many times. So 70 times. And it's a rule by Allah Ta'ala that Allah multiplies 1 by 10. So if we read it 7 times, multiplied by 10 is 70. So we should try and make a ma'mool of reading it every day at least 7 times. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And at least one time read it full, illa billahil aliyyil azim. And even this words in one narration has come, la malja, la malja, وَلَا مَنْجَى مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. Try and read the full one time. What is the meaning of it? On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in a majlis. And as it commonly happens sometimes while sitting down, getting up, you may say Bismillah loudly, you may say Subhanallah loudly. So in that majlis, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said a bit above his voice, above his breath, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately asked him, Atadri mal ma'ana la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Oh, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, do you know what is the meaning of this words? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And here also, if we have to ask, how many of us will be able to say the meaning? What is the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? Our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi says that he met one Mufti sahab, Mufti Abdul Muqit sahab. So he asked him, what is your name's meaning? Mufti sahab didn't know his own name's meaning. That what does Muqit mean? And perhaps many of us also won't know. Though we may be ulama also, we might not know what is the meaning. Those who heard it from us, they will look up and they will want to give the meaning quickly. But on our own, how many? And I also didn't know. When our Shaykh told us, when he explained the meaning, then I came to know the meaning. Qut dene wala, the one who gives you food. Your food, your qut for the day, your food. That is Al-Muqit, Abdul Muqit. So la hawla wa la quwwata also, many of us don't know the meaning. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu didn't know the meaning. Arab, and what a faqih, faqihul ummah, but he also didn't know. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the meaning, la hawla amma asiyatillah. There is no turning away from the disobedience of Allah ta'ala, illa bi ismatillah. That only when Allah protects you, you can turn away from sin. If Allah doesn't protect you, you will get involved in the worst and most terrible time. So never also think, I got saved from sin. Always say, Allah saved me. Otherwise, any time that she was so beautiful and how she was talking, but I was strong. I didn't do anything. No, say Allah protected me. If Allah's protection is not there, the strongest elephant will also slip. A person who is strong on his deen, he will also slip. And how many instances in the Quran and Hadith of people who were strong on deen and how they slept when Allah's protection was not there. وَلَا قُوَّةَ عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِعَوْنِ اللَّهِ. And there is no power to do any good but by the help of Allah. When Allah's help is there, you can do good. Don't boast, 10 years I'm making my namaz, takbir-e-ula, first saf. It's only with Allah's help. And the minute Allah is to pull away His help, then where will you be able to manage it? Khalil Ahmed sahab, Saharanpuri, rahmatullah alayhi. MashaAllah, what a great alim, what a great buzurg. The Shaykh of our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana, my first Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana, Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya sahab, rahmatullah alayh. Into one person, Maulana Siddiq Ahmed Banwi, rahmatullah alayh, was his in khidmat. He said, for 20 years, I never saw Hazrat Masih's Takbir-e-Ula. It is not an easy thing. He says only on one occasion, Hazrat was making wudu, and in that blood started coming from his gums. So he ordered that don't delay namaz. And this is also the buzurgs, they don't want to inconvenience anyone. That all who came expect namaz on time, and then they want to go. Now you have to, and they will all happily wait. They won't have any objection. But buzurgs don't want to inconvenience anyone. So he says that one, but then Hazrat came and joined in the first rakat. And according to Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayh, till the first rakat you go into ruku, till then you joined, you have got takbir-e-ula. That's the tahqiq of Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayh. Anyway, so he said that on that occasion. Then he said on one occasion, we were in Makkah Sharif. And the rain that came, torrential rains, what heavy rains. And I thought today, Hazrat will also, it comes in the hadith, Sallu fi rihalikum, Din Damas in your places. And many places where we went to Burundi and Rwanda, there in Maghrib, just a little lightning comes. They say, all, we're making Isha Namaz now also. You don't have to go home and come back for Isha. Just a few drops of rain, we're making Isha Namaz now also. But it was just a few drops, but Abad, after that, what rains came. But they, that is their practice like that, and there's gunjaish for that according in their mazhab. So anyway, so this rains that came, so Maulana Siddiq Sahib said, I was sure Hazrat will make namaz today at home in the room. He won't go to haram. What strong, strong, heavy, heavy rain. But as the time came, Hazrat made wudu and he got ready. So I said, I'll have to go, I'm the khadim, I got no choice. But I was really wishing Hazrat makes namaz in the room in that day. And then Hazrat took an umbrella, told him, you take an umbrella. And then he took water in a lota, in a can. So he was wondering, why this water? He says, when we walk through the mud and water and all the dirt, when before we enter the haram, adab of haram sharif, we will wash our feet again. So carrying on the one hand, the one lota of water, the umbrella and a lantern also. Eh? And then they started going. And the rain came like a river. And what its stones that were hitting us like bullets in our legs, raining from on top. The river that is flowing and the stones that is making it flow. And in between it came to our knee length. I thought, now Hazrat is going to say, let's turn back. But Hazrat, and I fell, and I was about to fall, Hazrat caught my hand, and he held me, and we carried on walking till we came to the haram. The ihtimam of takbir of jamaat namaz. Today we are so weak, Allah forgive us. And for any small excuse, just little work, just little headache, or just nothing also, and we miss jamaat namaz. Jamaat namaz, one great fazilat of it, that malakul maut takes roll call, who has come for jamaat. And who he finds regular with jamaat namaz, he at the time of maut, malakul maut tells him read kalima. After that he takes his role. So these are very, very great virtues. On what was it? Ji, so there's pabandi of namaz. There's also by Allah's. Don't you say that for 20 years I'm making Allah's fazal. We should remember that. So anyway, so you cannot stay away from guna. We must make the effort. We are responsible for effort. Eh? But your yaqeen that Allah is the only doer. Just like for rozi, we make the effort, but the yaqeen must be Allah is the giver of a rozi. Not that rozi is in our effort. Staying away from guna, we are responsible to make the effort. Don't just say, now again go to the other extreme, that well, if Allah is the saver and if He doesn't save me, well, I get involved in guna. It's not my fault. Allah didn't save me. No, we are responsible to make the effort. But our yaqeen must be not in our effort, in the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And we cannot do any good except by the will of Allah Ta'ala and by His command. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when a banda, a servant of Allah on the farsh, on the earth, on the ground, he reads La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah on the arsh by Allah Ta'ala, where Allah is, Allah Ta'ala announces that aslama abdi wastaslama. And the meaning of aslama abdi wastaslama, that also has been given, aslama abdi. Hey, abdi inqada wa tarakal inada. That my banda has submitted himself. He has become righteous and pious now. And he has given up disobedience. This is when we read la hawla. And then Allah Ta'ala says aslama. And that means that my banda has surrendered himself to me. And he has now given up all disobedience. And the explanation of this our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gave, that when a person reads this, and the person is still involved in guna. So the malaika, look what a questioning eye to Allah. Allah, you said he has now surrendered, and he has given up guna, but he's still busy, he's making guna. Allah Ta'ala's awe. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala's, what is the Urdu word? The rob of Allah Ta'ala, Allah's great awe. Allah says that I said he's saved from guna and he's committing guna. Allah puts his protection on that person. Like that person was going to a casino, gambling place. And he was, he read, La hawla wa la quwwata, Allah protected him. But now he's still going to the gambling place. Malaika say, Ya Allah, you said he's protected, but here he's going to the casino, he's going to some other evil, dirty place. Then Allah Ta'ala causes a puncture to come. It's not something else. Or you just bumped your car a little bit with something. Or your car, how many times it happens, car is not working, it's just stalling. Nothing happening. You phone your friend, he's a mechanic. You phone the AA. When they come, this car works. Nothing wrong. What happened? Allah protected you. Allah put that protection over you. So in this way, Allah put that. Or, like Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, it was no guna, na'uzu billah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still a young person, not yet Nabi also of Allah. And his friends wanted to take him to a fair. Allah wanted to protect him. He got such a heavy sleep. He fell so fast asleep. They couldn't pick him up also. And so heavy he had become. They couldn't wake him up. They couldn't pick him up. So Allah, sometimes your sleep also is Allah's protection. All these things when Allah wants to protect you. So that is aslama abdi, that Allah saves a person. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that your little child of 2 years, 18 months, they chill, small children like to eat sand. So the wife, the mother tells the father that in our yard there's a lot of sand and my child eats sand which is very unhealthy. Please put concrete here. We'll plaster the whole place so that there isn't sand. Now the neighbor's child comes and play with the child. But now the children are also so small, but they also very sharp. So this your child tells the neighbor's child, tomorrow when you come, my yard there is no sand. You bring sand in your pocket. Because they want to eat sand. Now the mother realizes, so when the neighbor's child comes, she puts custom tests. First customs will take place. We'll see what you are coming in with. And we will check in your pockets also. So this is the protection of Allah. Allah makes that protection. You want to commit the sin, but this ghanima is so powerful. One of the most powerful things Allah has given us, but we just use it when we see a pig, for example. We see some haram, some wrong thing. It is such a powerful kalima. So, la hawla an ma'asiyatillah illa bi ismatillah alas, wa la quwwata ala ta'atillah illa bi awnillah. Jn aslama wa istaslama. Ay abdi fawwada sa'ira umuril kainat illa Allah azza wa jal. بِأَسْرِحَا That my banda has handed all his matters. From the root, he has handed them over to me. And when you hand over to Allah Ta'ala, like for example, if you have bought a property and you give the conveyance that to transfer the property on your name to a good lawyer, and you, once you gave him the mandate, I want you to transfer, he'll tell you what documents he wants. He will tell you that he'll phone you after 2 weeks, we are at this point here. And we are only waiting for one more paper. We were waiting for one signature. He'll come to you with the papers for signature. You won't have to run after him. You won't have to phone him and ask him how far is the work. It is so long, in the 6 months nothing is happening. He's not a person like that. He's efficient. And Allah Ta'ala, Na'mal Mawla wa Na'mal Nasir, who is the best of guardians and the best of friends, and the best of helpers. When you have handed your matter to Allah, whatever your problem, whatever you can think of, deen, of dunya, even you got a drug problem, just think, read this, that I've handed my problem to Allah. Allah is going to protect me now. Allah is going to take over. You got any other difficulty, whatever it can be, you're going to an airport and you wonder whether they're going to be allow me through with immigration easily, or they're going to give me hassles. Customs, read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You got a job, or you got some deal with somebody, that person is not upholding his side of the bargain, of the agreement. Read la hawla wa la, what a great treasure. It's kanz min kunuzil jannah. It's one of the treasures of Jannah. And a treasure is called that which you got, but you don't know you got it. That is called a treasure. If you know you got 500,000 rand in your bank account, that's not called a treasure. But there is something in your house buried in your yard. The gold coins are buried from there. Kruger rands are buried there. And you don't know about it. That is called a treasure. So this is, we got it. Everyone knows la hawla. Small children knows. Everyone knows la hawla wa la quwwata. But we don't know the value of it. That's why it's called a jannah. In one riwayat it is called kanz min tahtil arsh. It is a treasure from under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. The arsh is the ceiling of jannah. So the highest point of jannah, and it is just below the arsh, it is a treasure from there which Allah Ta'ala has given us. So to make dafa, to remove these wasawis, there is such a valuable thing Allah has given us. And not only for waswasa, for any and every problem, la hawla wa la quwwata is aksir. It is an alchemy. It will change everything. And Allah has given it to us free of charge. To read la hawla wa la quwwata, your throat won't get dry. It isn't any difficult. There is no ayn in there. There is no hard alphabets in there. No ha in there. No, there is a ha wa la hawla. But really it is so easy to read it. Allah made it so easy. So we make this a strong habit of reading it at least 7 times. And when in our namaz, we're getting all wasawis, all different thoughts. So don't read it verbally, but read it in your heart. And also realize the reading of the heart is more stronger than the reading of the tongue. With the tongue you can say many things. The heart only speaks the truth. And the truth is in the heart. But the tongue lies also. The tongue swears also. But the heart is pure and clean. And the heart, its concentration is from the heart. So read it from the heart. Similarly, if in namaz these thoughts come to you, and you want to read the dua, Allahumma ij'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikra, then read that also from the heart. So these are great, great treasures Allah has given us, great prescriptions, but the sad part is we don't use them. We read in the kitab from two or three nights ago, a person who reads Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, and wa tabarakallah. How many of us ask ourselves that we read it? What great fazilat. Immediately a Farisha grabs it, puts it under his wing. Last year we read it also. The year before that we read it. But who of us are practicing it? And the reason is we don't practice at that moment. And we don't listen with the niyat of putting into practice. We do say dua. That make dua, I practice on everything. But the niyat that I am going to practice. Maulana Ghulam Sahib Sahib of Dadhir, he explained when after he had completed his studies in Jalalabad, he went back again for Islah, for Sohbat of Hadraji. Hadraji after 1-2 days told him, Kaiko Ayeho. The one way Hadraji used to talk with his close ones, that why you came here? He said, Hadrat Islah ke liye, aise Islah nahi hoti. This Islah of yours cannot be made. Har majlis mein, every majlis you come, make your niyat that what you want Islah. You go to a doctor, don't just go to a doctor to have cup of tea. Doctor won't give you a cup of tea in any case. But if he's your friend, maybe he'll give you a cup of tea. But if you just go for tea to doctor just to have a chat with doctor, that's not going to help you. You go to doctor because you got a problem. So every majlis you come, make your niyat, my anger to get it in control. My pride, I have to get it in control. I haven't got istiqamat. I don't carry on with my things all the time. Whatever, make niyat and come. Come for treatment, make your niyat why you are coming. And after the majlis, Hadraji said, don't talk around with people. This is a common habit also. Once majlis is finished, we meet one another, we start talking. All that noor also goes away. And all what you had learned and what you had benefited, it just goes out of your mind. And now you nothing is in your mind. You just came, you sat and you went away. And the example of that is, which also Maulana Ghulam Sahib told us, that one person should go to his sheikh and sat down. He had great love, great respect, aqidat. He believed my sheikh is a great sheikh, great wali of Allah. He's a sheikh of the time. But he should take a rumal like this, which Maulana Ashraf has got on. This rumals that we use, he should spread it out and present. And as Hazrat used to speak, MashaAllah, kya farmaya, kya, kaise mere sheikh. All that he should give. But at the end of the majlis, that sheet of his, he should shake it out. So Hazrat asked him, what is this you are doing? So he said, Hazrat, what you are saying, 100% from my heart I'm convinced. It is right what you say, but it's for the masjid. It's not for the house. In the house is the government of the wife, and she controls that. These talks don't work there. And this is right what you are saying, 100%, but it's not for the shop. It's not for the workplace. There, that's a different world. The laws and the regulations are there different. Yeah, it's right. So I leave it all behind. I listen to what you say and I leave it behind. So we many times we come to majlis, we only for yeah, it's right. Very good, mashallah. Etikaf, Ramzan, Umrah, going in Jamaat 40, all very good. But leave it there. Don't bring it home. We all tell shaitan, one person from our country, he went and he pelted shaitan. And so he said that shaitan spoke to me. He was a jolly person. He said, shaitan told me, throw stones at me here. When you go back to Durban, we friends again. He was from Durban. We friends again. Then the TV again, everything. Yeah, show everyone how you hate me in front of everyone. And pelt me with your stones also. And take a gun also. Take a hand grenade and bomb me out also. But when you go back, we friends again. So we also, yeah, Ramzan is alright, we carry on. Umrah we go, Jamaat we go, everything. Jamaat, we sit on the floor, we eat everything. All three meals. We come home, back to the table again. Back to the breakfast nook again. All that. Our clothes in Jamaat clothes are separate. And our clothes when we're going to work is separate again. So we just all departmentalize. All departments. So like that a person won't benefit. So Hazrat Ji rahmatullah alayhi told him, after the bayan, go straight to your room and lie down on your bed. Before that, lock the door. So nobody comes and now you're having a cup of tea, etc. And then think what was said. And for that reason, really a person who wants to benefit, he should make notes that this point was said, this just not detail, just point form. And then go through it again. We think, just imagine that this whole, like for example, I give this example, if this was a seminar and we had called people and we gave them notebooks and papers and we told them to make notes, etc. and we charge them 1,000 rand per person. How people value that seminar. Yeah, free of charge, maale muft dile behram. What you get free of charge, no qadar of it also. No appreciation. Who of us ever thinks of what was said in the bayan? Who of us discusses it also? If it is recorded, who listens to all that recordings again? Only perhaps something you go and listen. It's just a novelty all this, to show that on my MP3 I got 200 bayans. On my flesh, I got 250 men. Who listens to 250 men? It's all just that. But if you make that notes, and then you take even just 10 minutes, and this is a usul, a principle, which is for the students especially, that when they sit in their sabak, they must make takrar, repeat that sabak again. So if we also make takrar, there is a sabak also. Don't take it like a bayan. Don't take it as a pastime, barakat only. No, go and take it as a sabak and go through those things. Then see, inshallah, forget 40 days and 4 months, just in 1 day, 2 days, 1 bayan. See how much. Allah gave me tawfiq when I spend my 40 days to try my share. Then every bayan I should listen again on the cassette, 10 times I should listen. And I should listen that same bayan. And I should make my notes, and I told Hazrat also. And really, like the miracle of the Quran Sharif, we read it how many times? And those who understand, who are ulama, and read it with understanding, every time a new thing comes out. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is almost repeated in every supara, but everywhere a new thing will come out, all the time. You sit in a bayan, Allah gave me tawfiq also, I make Allah shukr. Whenever we go on safar, I make niyat, Ya Allah, let me learn something. And from ordinary people, I learn things. Any things which I didn't know, and I learn always. But if your niyat is to learn, if you are just there, you're going to teach people. And you're going to be giving bayans, then you won't learn. But if your niyat is to learn, inshallah, you will definitely pick up and learn. So this la hawla wa la quwwata is a very, very valuable wazifa Allah has given us. And this thing is a thing that plagues almost everyone, wasawis. This thoughts, wayward thoughts that we get, whether it's in namaz, whether it's in tilawat, whether just like that, you sit in the toilet, what thoughts you get. When you are lying down to sleep, what thoughts come. All the time, what thoughts? These are the solution. One is just to totally ignore them. That is the greatest solution. The other is to read, Allahumma ij'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikrak. What two great treasures you get. And the fuel of it was wasawis. With that you got khashyat of Allah and you got zikr of Allah ta'ala. And la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Another thing Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali taught us, another of great value, which also, just while we are on that, which we don't appreciate, that whenever anything goes wrong, any problem, any difficulty, read inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. There is also a great, great treasure. We don't read that. We start screaming. We start moaning, we giving badduas to people, but read inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That on its own is such a great thing. When you realize inna lillahi, we all of us, everything of ours is only for Allah. Like for example, to understand this, you are working for your boss, you are a delivery man, and you have to go and deliver. And on the way, you got hijacked, or they robbed you, or you met up with an accident. You feel sorry, it is a problem, but you say it's not mine anyway, it's the boss's. So you don't feel it so hard. If it was your own car and they robbed you, your own money they robbed you, your own car they hijacked you, then you feel it very heavy. But the boss, and the boss is a rich man. Yeah, I came with one delivery van, he's got 40 delivery vans. And he's a rich man, so you don't feel it so hard. So Allah, it's yours. The minute you feel it's not mine, it was Allah's whatever happened. Now you won't feel it so hard. But when you feel hard, when it is your own, then you feel it very hard. And the problem is we take everything as our own. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayh was a little child of 2-3 years old. He had a pillow which he enjoyed. Like today children got teddy bears or they got dolls. Well, the haram issue is a separate thing. I'm giving a masala. I'm giving an example here. Now the way they enjoy, that teddy bear means everything. That car they got, that toy means everything to them. So his father told him, Zakaria, bring that pillow for me. So he said, my pillow. His father gave him one slap. You hardly earning still and you're already mine. This mind that it is mine. He said, from that time, my whole life, I realized nothing belongs to me. Whatever I got is an amanat from Allah Ta'ala. It belongs to Allah Ta'ala. So, inna lillah, we, all of us together, our possessions, our things, all belong to Allah Ta'ala. So already you don't feel so heavy. 3/4 of your burden is off now. That it was not mine, it's my boss's, whatever has happened. So now you don't feel it. It's 3/4 of your burden. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And in any case, we are all going to return to him. Nothing is going to remain here. Whatever you got, whatever your bank balance, whatever investments, properties, all going to remain here. We are going to Allah Ta'ala. And then the completion of this dua is very important, which seldom we make. And we can only thank our mashayikh who taught us and who went out of the way and who didn't charge us 1 cent. And they taught us what great treasures, which no seminar and no other thing can give us what they had given us. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. Oh Allah, you give me protection in this musibat of mine. وَخْلُفْنِي خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. And give me something better than this also. So Hazrat Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha says, when her husband passed away, then she read this dua. In return, Allah gave her Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as her husband. She said, I saw with my eyes what I got. So in the same way, one person wrote that she was, that person, a lady, she was bayat with another sheikh. The sheikh passed away, she read this dua. She said, I see with my eyes, Allah gave me a much more better sheikh. So if we read this, Allah, well, but we don't read the second part, we read only the first part. Allah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that we know, but we don't read it also. And what is required is to read it. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. Oh Allah, give me protection give me your protection in this difficulty of mine. Like for example, you got stuck with your car, you got a puncture, your battery is gone flat somewhere, and it's a dangerous place. You phone your AA company, and they send somebody immediately. How you feel comfortable? Now I got somebody by my side here. Somebody who will look after me. There is a dangerous place. Hijackings here. Robberies take place here. There is somebody to... Here Allah is going to give you protection. And you'll feel it in your heart, the protection of Allah. Allahumma jirni fi musibati wa khlufni khayran minha. And give me something more better than this. Your money got stolen, 500,000 got stolen, 2,000,000 got stolen. Somebody did you down in a business, you read this dua, Allah will give you 10 times more. Allah will give you so much more better. Your child passed away, Allah will give you a better child. Your wife you lost, Allah will give you a better wife. But we don't read it. And we don't read it with that conviction. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, this is a very important subject, this wasawis. And the solutions are also very important. They are very straightforward, very simple. Those who will practice on it will get the benefit. And if those who just want to talk, doctor gave you the best medicine. And you put it in a golden case you have, made. And you keep it, and all your people who come and visit you, you are sick, and you tell them the top doctor, he gave me the best medicine, and see, yeah, I got it, but you're not taking the medicine. What is the use of it? Our Quran Sharif, we put it away in a golden case, and we put so much of ether and flower petals and everything on it. We wrap it up for next Ramzan now. That we're not going to touch the Quran Sharif. In that case, how can we get benefit? Bring it into our lives. That is what is required. Then see, inshallah, what benefits we get. Today is Jummah, and du'as are accepted at this time here particularly. We all should engage ourselves in du'as, inshallah. SubhanAllah.